Daf Yud. Today's learning is sponsored by Mauricio Gluck, Lila Nishmas Avram, Chaim Ben Simcha, and Shama Shehav and Aliyah. So we got to the very bottom of Testament Beis, the last Mishnah there. This is the last of the Ein Beins. The Mishnah says, Ein Bein Shilo Yushalayim Ela Shebeshilo. The only difference between the city of Yushalayim and the city of Shilo when the Mishkan was there was that Shebeshilo Ochen Kachem Kalim Umayisha Sheni Bechol HaRoeh. That normally the lacha is you're supposed to eat kachem kalim and ma'aser sheni within the walls of Yerushalayim, but there's a het there by Shiloh, not only within Shiloh, but even anywhere where you could see it. It's a machlok kishasham. This was bechol ro'eh mean. Does it mean anywhere if you were sitting in Shiloh, a city you could see from there, or does it mean if you were in an outside city you could see Shiloh from that outside city? And there are some nafkin weenders depending on how high, how low certain cities are. But is it from the perspective of Shiloh or the perspective of the other places that they can see Shiloh? Whatever it is, halacha is that Shiloh goes based on HaRoeh. Once, so I don't remember from who this was, but the difference between Yerushalayim and Shiloh is that Shiloh was in the chelik of Yosef at Tzadik, one of the Shvatim, Ephraim and Menashe, and since Yosef had this certain koach of Re'iyah, he was protected from Ein Hara, certain koach of Re'iyah, so Shiloh went based on Re'iyah, as opposed to Yerushalayim, was Yehuda, it did not depend on Re'iyah. So then the Mishnah says further, over Yerushalayim, lifnim menachom, as opposed to Yerushalayim, you're only allowed to eat Ma'aser Sheni and Kachim Kalim within the walls of Yerushalayim itself. The Khan, but both places, Kachi Kachim Necham Lefnim Minaklaim, they only can be eaten Kachi Kachim within the walls of the Mishkan and based on Mikdash itself, not the cities. It's much more limited where you could eat Kachim Kalim, Kachim Kachim rather. And Kedushas Shiloh, the Mishnah says, going on to Daf Yud now, the din is Yesh Achare Heter, the Kedushas Yushlaim Ein Achare Heter. And Rashi explains, what is that Heter? Says Rashi in the very top here, Yesh Achare Heter, Kishacharva Shiloh Hutra Bamos. When the Shiloh was destroyed, they were allowed to have Bamos until the Beis Hamikdash was rebuilt, as opposed to after the Yushlaim was destroyed. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in Yushlaim, there's no longer a Heter of building the Bamos. So now the Gemara says as follows. Gemara says, Amar Yitzhak Shemati, I heard, Shemakriven Bebeis Chonav Bizman Hazeh. I was told that you're allowed to bring karbanos in this base chonyo, this area. It's machlokis in the Gemara in Zvachim. Was this a base of Avodah Zarah, or was this a sira bait, a bais that was a kadosh, some type of bama? So if you look at Rashi to explain a little bit, Rashi's base chonyo, Mizbeach Chonyo Beno Shel Shimna Tzadik, the son of Shimna Tzadik, his name was Chonyo. Bana Bama b'Mitzrayim l'shem Shemaim. He built a Bama. He did it Mamash l'shem Shemaim. The Gemara says in Menachos, and I think Gemara in Zvachim as well. So one opinion holds this was not an Avodah Zarah. This is Mamash l'shem Shemaim. It was a real Bama. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, I heard Shemati again. Shemakrivim b'beis chonyo b'zman hazeh. Kesavar beis chonyo la beis Avodah Zarah. He was not a beis Avodah Zarah. He Mamash did l'shem Shemaim. So how is this allowed? The Kesavar, it must be that he was under the assumption. Kedusha Rishona, Kitcha L'Shaita, V'lo Kitcha L'Asulava. We're about to see a Machlokas when the Kedusha was initially, when the Beis HaMikdash was initially sanctified by Yeshua and Eretz Yisrael, and David and Shlomo and Yushalayim, all that Kedusha, it was only temporary, it was only Shaita, meaning the moment the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, all the Kedusha had left, V'lo Kitcha L'Asulava, and once the Kedusha left, it made a heter to build a Bama elsewhere as well. It says in the pasuk, "Ki lo basam ad ata el manucha vel anachala." Until you came to this place, the resting place, you're allowed to build bamos. Until you got to that place, what is that? Mi manucha zu Shiloh, nachala zu Yushalayim. So we have this connection of building bamos of Shiloh and Yushalayim. So the chiddush here is against our Mishnah. Makish nachala le manucha. Ma manucha. Yesh achre heter. Manucha is referring to Shiloh. There was a heter bamos after Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed. Af nachla yesh achare heter. There's a heter after the nachla, after Yerushalayim, the Beis Hamikdash Yerushalayim was destroyed. There was a heter as well. That was the understanding.
So the kedusha rishona, because before this is talking about after by Sheni,
yeah, but the kedusha rishona initially Yeshua had created, does that last even after by Rishon and even after by Sheni? In other words, if it was batel from the times of Yeshua, it'd be batel after the times of by Sheni as well. If it remained after by Rishon, it would remain. Yeah, I believe so, yeah. So now, the Gemara says further, Amrulay, Amris, did you say such a chiddush? Amrulay, lo, I didn't say this. Amr Rava, Halakim, Amr, you told us this. What do you mean? Don't deny you didn't say this. We learned this from you. You said such a chiddush. My time, Akahadarbe, why do you retract? Mishum the Kashid, the Rav Mary, the Mosiv, Rav Mary, because he had the following Shiloh. That Kedusha Shiloh Yesha Achare Heter, Kedusha Yerushalayim Ein Achare Heter, because this Mishnah here in Maseches Megillah goes against this Chiddush, that there is no Heter Bamos after Yerushalayim, which means the base Chonyo that was built in Mitzrayim was not L'Shem Shemayim, or even if it was L'Shem Shemayim, it still wouldn't work, because you can't have a Bama after the destruction of the base of Mikdash. Moreover, Tanan, the Mishnah says, Misha Baul Yushalayim Nesra Bamos. The Misha clearly states, the Mishnah appears in Maseches Vachim, that once they built the base of Mikdash in Yushalayim, Bamos were also across the board. V'lo hayolem od hetter. There's no longer a hetter. V'hi ha'isa l'nachla. That is the nachla forever. You can't build the Bama anywhere else. So that's why he retracted. So the Gemara says, Tanahi, it's really a machlokas Tanahi, that Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Shemati, Kishubonava, Bonim Behechel, Osin Klaim Lehechel, Beklaim Lazara. So they didn't, they have a certain Masorah, that when they're building the Heichal, they put up some curtains in the Heichal and some curtains around the Azara. Elishabehechel, Bonim Ibachutz. The Heichal, they built them, the curtains were not directly on the borders of the Heichal, it was a little bit further out. But by the Azara, they built the curtains, or they hung the curtains a little bit further in. Now, the reason for this is, if you look at Rashi, halfway down the Rashi, Bonim Mibachutz, Sheyuklaim Prushim Lefnim Me'ove Hachoma, Shelo Yikansu Habonim Latoch HaHechel. They wanted the climb to be a little bit outside the Heichel, because the people, the builders, shouldn't have to step inside the Heichel when they built it, so the climb were a little bit outside to give a little bit of a buffer, as opposed to in the Azara, where the builders were allowed to be in the Azara, so they were able to have the walls, the climb, be inside further. So that's what was taking place when they were building the base of Mikdash. V'amr Bishua, Shemati Shemakvivim, I heard, Afapi, Shein and Bias, Ochen, Kachi Kachim. I heard that even though there's no base of Mikdash, you could still eat Kachi Kachim in the right place. And Afapi, Shein, Klaim, even though there's no curtains around the walls of the base of Mikdash, Kachi Kalim, or the Yushalayim, Meiser Asheni, Afi Shein Choma, even though, you've said one more time, that you're allowed to be Makriv even though there's no Bias. And you can eat Kachi Kachim even though there's no Klaim. And you can eat Kachi Kalim and Meiser Asheni even though Afapi Shein Choma, even though there are no walls. Why is that? Why did Bishua say you're allowed to do this, even though there's no structure, there's no wall, there's no curtains? Mipnei shekedusha rishona kitchel shaita v'kitchel asid lavo. Because he held that the moment there's kedusha infused by Yeshua, that kedusha lasted forever. The kedusha of Yeshua and kedusha in David and Shlomo, that lasted forever. So that implies that Rabbi Shua held that way. But according to Machlad the Rebbe Eliezer, who said that you need climb, you need the walls, you need the curtains to be there, Savarlo Kitchel Asur Lavo, it's not Kedusha forever, and the only way you're allowed to eat within the walls, if they're actual walls, if there's actually a structure, the Beis HaMikdash is there. So we see that there's a Machlokas Tanaim here, whether Kedusha Rishona Kitchel Ashaita, and also Kitchel Asur Lavo, or not Kitchel Liasur Lavo. So before we reject this understanding, it's important understanding Machlokas between Rambam and the Ravid, what does it mean Kitchel Ashaita, Kitchel Asur Lavo? So the Rambam understands here that everybody agrees, all opinions agree that Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, that Kedusha is actually L'Asur Lavo. The whole debate here is about the rest of Eretz Yisrael. That's the debate according to the Rambam. The Ravid argues and says, no, the debate is not only about Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, it's about the entire Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash as well. So that's a very important machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. Either way, right now we have a machlokas tonight, whether or not you say Kitcha L'Shaita V'Kitcha L'Asur Lavo or not Kitcha L'Asur Lavo. That's what he holds, yeah, he holds that way.
And then there's no machlokas in the Gemara?
No, the machlokas here is about the rest of Eretz Yisrael outside of Yerushalayim. I mean, right now it's here, he holds that, maybe that's a good point here, I'm not sure how he reads it inside, yeah, it's a good point. So then the Gemara says, Amar le Ravina le Ravashi, Mimai, how do we know this to be the case? How do you know that's the machlokas here? Dilma, l'chuyama kedusha rishona, kitchel ashaita, v'kitchel ashlava. Maybe everybody agrees that kedusha lasts forever. Umar Maidishmilei Kamar. They're just reporting what they heard. Just because Rabbi Eliezer said that they had Klein, that they were building the Heichal this way and the Azara that way, doesn't mean that was necessary. Doesn't mean that had to be that way. That's just what took place. It was historical, point that he's saying, but nothing to do with the requirements. And the Gemara says, V'chitema Klein Rebbe Elazar Lamali. So if that's the case, why is he even describing the need for these Klein, these curtains to be there while they would eat the Maisha Sheni and they eat the Kachi Kachim? So Gemara says, let's sneeze about Alma. Maybe just have people eat within some covering, but not that it was necessary. Even if there were no kalim, even though there are no curtains, he may still have agreed that you could eat in the area because he maybe holds that Kedusha lost Lava as well, just like Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shuhold. So Gemara says, that's not a proof then that there's a machlokas about Kedusha lost Lava. So what's the proof? Elokiyani Tanaim. Really, the following machlokas Tanaim is about whether or not Kedusha lost Lava or not. The Tanya, the Baisa says, that Amar Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, Lama Manu Chachamim Es Elu, Shik She'alu B'nei Agola, Matzu Es Elu, V'Kitchim. So why do they list these certain cities? When it came to certain cities, Ayaros, that are listed in the end of Maseches Erchin, says Rashi, they counted which cities were considered walls, legabe, the lachas about the Arechoma, about selling within 1 year and having the ability to redeem it again, that they were walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun. So he listed certain cities. So why did the Chacham list these cities? Because when they returned from the times of Ezra, when Sha'alu b'nei Hagola, Matzos Eilu v'Kitchim, they found these cities and they sanctified these cities as Bati Arechoma. Aval HaRishonos, the initial cities, before they had to return back during Bayi Sheni, Batlu, there was Batlu. Mishibala Aretz, when they left Eretz Yisrael, after Bayi Rishon, the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael was lost. That means all the cities that walled cities were lost as well, and they had to re-sanctify when they came back. Alma, Kesava Kedusha Rishona, Kitchel HaShaita, Velo Kitchel HaSalavo, it was not everlasting, and therefore Ezra had to re-sanctify these cities. That's one opinion, that's one Raisa. Reminu, they asked the question from the following Raisa. Amar Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Yossi, v'chi elu bavad hayu, were these the only walled cities from the times of Yeshua ben Nun? V'alok far nemar, it already says, shishim ir kochevel argovo, there are 60 cities that were walled. Uksiv kol elu arim b'tzur, they're all fortified, choma gavoa. So there's 60 cities, not just the few cities that they listed. Elalama manu chacham is elus, how come chacham only listed a few of them in the end of Maseches Erchin? There are many more than that they listed. So Gemara says, Ella, kisha'alu kisha'alu b'nei agola, matzu elo v'kitchim. When they returned back to Eretz Yisrael, they sanctified them. Gemara says, kitchim, they sanctified them. Says the Gemara, that hashta ha'amra lo tzricha l'kedusha. We just said, you did not have to re-sanctify them. We already said that there were already 60 cities from the time of Yeshua ben Nun that didn't require kedusha. What that means is, so the Gemara changed the gear, says Ella, when Ezra returned from Galus, Elamatzus Elu Umanum, he counted them, but he didn't sanctify them. They were already sanctified before, the Brisa says. He just said these are examples of cities that were fortified. Velo Elu Bavad, not only these cities, Elakol Shetala Lecha Misaris Biadecha Mialasecha, anything that you have a tradition, Mishem Mukafas Chomer Mimoshish Benun, that if it had a wall city from the times of Shubanun, Kol Hamitzos Halalu Nohaginba. All the halachas of Bati Erchom apply to these cities. These were just examples in the Gemara in Erchin. These were not the ones that they sanctified. They did not need to sanctify it. Bipnesha Kedusha Rishona Kitchel HaShaita, the Kitchel HaSulava, because they felt that the Kedusha was over everlasting. It lasted forever from the times of Yeshua ben Nun. So we see there's a machlokus in the Brice here, whether we say the cities needed to be re-sanctified or they didn't need to be re-sanctified. And the Gemara says, wait a second. But both these Brices are in the name of the same person. Kasha, the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. Kasha, the Rabbi Shmuel, the Rabbi Shmuel. Both of these Brices were said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. So this is a stira. One Brice says they had to re-sanctify it. The other Brice says they did not have to. And the Gemara answers, Trei Tanai, Aliba, the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. There are two opinions of what he actually said. So that's the Machlokas Tanaim about Kedusha Rishona, Kitcha L'Shaita, Kitcha L'Asad Lava. V'Bayisema. Yet the second answer is, Ibayisema ha Reb Elazar, Reb Yossi Amra. One was not Reb Shmuel, Reb Yossi, one was Reb Elazar, maybe his brother, who said differently. The Tani, the Bayis, says explicitly that Reb Elazar, Reb Yossi, Amar, Asher lo Choma. We saw this already earlier in the Masechta. Even though there might not be a wall now, as long as there once was a wall, that Kedusha lasts forever, and it's Reb Elazar Reb Yossi who is the one who holds Kitchel HaShaita, Kitchel HaSad Lav. Fine. So now the Gemara says as follows. Now we're going to get into all the Agadas. Pretty much the next week or so, we're going to discuss all the Psukim of the Psukim. So we're going to get really prepared for Megillas Esther. So now the Gemara says, it says, Vahibi Me'achash Ve'erosh, sorry, Amar Rebbe, yeah, we're up to right now. I skipped a line here. No, hold on. That's right, right? Amar Vahibi Me'achashverosh, the pasuk says, Amar Reb Levi V'Yisem Reb Yonasan, Davar Zev Esores B'Yadeinu Me'anshu Knesset Gadol. We have a tradition. Vahiko Malkum Shinemar Vahihi Einu Ela Lashon Tsar. Whenever we see Vahihi, it's introducing the story. There's about to be a terrible thing that's going to happen. So that's what says Vahihi. It's an expression of a Vahi of like, well, there's like a terrible thing about to happen. And that's what Vahibi Me'achashverosh is telling us what's going to happen with the story of the Megillah. Vahibi Me'achashverosh Hava Haman, that introduced Haman into our lives. Vahibi Me Shvot HaShoftim Hava Rav, that led to there's a famine, that was the next few words. Vahi Kihechal Adam LaRov is referring to, there's a terrible, Vayarsham Ki Rabas Ras HaAdam, there's terrible things taking place to men. Vahibi Nasim Mekedem, they were traveling from the east, Hava Nivdal LaNoir, they said, let's build a big city. So this is referring to, I think, Migdal Bavel, this was. And then it says, Vahibi Me Amrafel Asum Milchama, that led to a war. He met the Malach who had the sword. He Hashem as Yeshua, referring to the Me'ilah that took place in times of Yeshua of Achan. V'hi ha'ish echad me'aramasim, ramasayim, ki yas ha'chana av, aheva, v'ashem saga es rachma, described how she wasn't able to have children. V'hi kasher zakin Shmuel, when Shmuel was very old, v'lohol chavanav b'dirachim, and the children of Shmuel did not follow in his path, and v'hi David l'chol d'rachava, maskil v'ashem imo, v'hi shal ayin es David, Shal was looking out to kill David. When David was sitting in his house, you're not going to be zocha to build the house. So each of these examples, around 10 examples of Vayhi, introduce something terrible that happened very next. So the Haksiv doesn't say Vayhi b'yom ha-shmini, the eighth day. The Tanya also ha-yom ha-isa simcha l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the eighth day of the milum of the Mishkan. It was a very happy day. Kiyom shenivru bo shemayim v'aretz, was as happy as the day as the world that was created. So that's Vayhi, where it leads to a day of simcha. And furthermore, Vayhi b'yom ha-shmini k'siv ha-cha, that's a connection that we see that the building of the Mishkan was equated to the creation of the world. And then, so Gemara says, Hashachiv Nadavavu. It was a happy day at the end of the day, though Nadavavu also died, so it was a bit of a sad day. So there was a tragedy after that Vayhi. So that's not a stira. The Haksiv doesn't say Vayhi Bishwan and Shana Vabram El Shana. There are 480 years. Vaksiv, Vayhi Kasher, Ra Yaakov is Rachel. And he said, Rachel, they led to a very beautiful marriage in the Shvatim. The first day of creation, nothing bad happened there. All the days of the creation were all days of simcha. Great things happened. So there the word vayhi is used, and it's not a tragedy. So the Gemara then says, you're right. Amr Ravashi, kol vayhi ikahachi vikahachi. Vayhi does not indicate either way. It's either going to lead to a very happy day or lead to a very sad day. Vayhi bimei eino elos lashon tzar. But if it's vayhi bimei, those two words in tandem, that indicates, it foreshadows a terrible tragedy that's about to happen. Chamisha vayhi bimei havu. There are five uses of vayhi bimei throughout all of Tanakh. Vayhi bimei achashverosh, vayhi bimei shvot hashoftim, vayhi bimei amrafel, vayhi bimei achaz, vayhi bimei yoyakim. In all these five instances, it was a foreshadowing of something bad to happen. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Levi, that davar zemesaros biyadenu me'avosenu. We have a tradition that amotz v'amatzia achim havu. These two were brothers. So my k'mash v'amotz chidashir. What do we learn from the fact that these two were brothers? So it says ki hod amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani amar b'yonasan kol kala shitznu beveis chameha. Any kala, any daughter-in-law who's very very tzenu in her, the house of her father-in-law, her in-laws, zocha v'yotzim mimenu melachim unuvim. They're going to be zocha. She will be zocha to have kings and the prophets come from her. Minal, and how do we know? Mi Tamar, dichsiv, it says by Tamar, vayireha Yehuda vayachshir lezona, ki chisa paneh, that Yehuda, when he saw Tamar at the pathways, so he didn't recognize her, because she was always covering herself. Vishim dikisa paneh vayachshir lezona, because she covered her face, that meant she was a zona. You think the opposite, one who covers a face, dafka wouldn't be a zona. Ella, mishim dikisa paneh bebeis chameh, because she covered her house when she was in the house of Yehuda, v'lohava yadala, he didn't really recognize her face. She always covered her face in the presence of Yehuda. But now suddenly she was at the Parshat Drachim, and he saw her face. He didn't know that was his daughter-in-law, because he never really saw her face before, because there she dafka was not covering her face. So zachta v'yasim v'menim v'lachav v'nevim, it turns out that her children, great-great-great-children, were both Nevim and Malachim. So Malachim v'David, we know Malachim from David, that came directly from Yehuda and Tamar, that we know. Nevi'im, how do we know Nevi'im? How do we know that? Damar Rabbi Levi, Misaris Biyadenu Me'avosenim, because this very line that we have a tradition, that Amos Amatzia, Achim, their brothers, Uksiv Chazon Yishayahu ben Amos, he was the son of Amos, and since Amos was the brother of Amatzia, and Amatzia was one of the kings of David, so we see that one line led to David HaMelech, and his brother Amos had a son of Yishayahu, which means he directly came from Yehuda and Tamar as well. So we see one who is very tanu in the house of the father-in-law is zocha to Malachim and Nevim. So then the Gemara says another statement in the name of Rabbi Levi. Amar Rabbi Levi, davar zem esaris biyadenu me'avosenu. We have a tradition that makom aron eino min amida. We saw this in the Gemara in Sukkah, that the location, the placement of the aron had no dimension. It didn't make sense. It didn't fit in. It was too big for the Kodesh Kedoshim, but that was one of the nisim in the base of Mikdash. So Tani Nami Hachi, the Raisa says that Aaron Shasa Moshe Yeshla Eser Amos L'chal Ruach, the dimension of the Aaron had 10 Amos on each side. Uksiv Lefnei Dvir Esim Amos Ama Orech, and the length of the Kosh Kedoshim was 20 Amos. And Uksiv Knafa Kruva Echad Eser Amos Knafa Kruva Echad Eser Amos, and each wing of the Kruvim was 10 Amos in each direction. Aaron Gufei Hecha Havakai. So now if it was 10 Amos in each direction, that means that was 20 Amos. That means there's no space for the Aron in between the 10 Amos of each of the Kruvim. Must be Ella, Lav Shmamina, B'nei's Hayomid. There was no dimension. It didn't make sense. It didn't fit into the mathematical measurements, dimensions of the Kosh Kedoshim. That was a nice. And that was another statement that Rebbe Levi said. So now the Gemara says, now we're going to get deep, knee-deep into the story of Purim. So Gemara is going to tell us different ways how different Amoraim would introduce their shir, how they open up their drasha on Megillas Esther. So first we have Rabbi Yonasan, Pasach le'pischa l'hai parashas ha'mihachim. When he'd give a drasha on Megillas Esther, he'd open up with the following drasha. V'kamti alem v'gomer v'chrati l'bavel shem u'shar v'nin v'necha num Hashem. He says, I will get up against these people. I'm going to cut off these cities of Bavel in the from them and all the offspring. So what does that mean? Shem, Zaksav is referring to the script that Bavel is going to get rid of the way they write. Shar refers to Zelashon, their language. Their script and language, he's going to cut off Bavel entirely, their language and their script. Nin means Zeh Malchus, their very Malchus will also be cut off as well. V'nechad refers to Zevashi, Vashi also is going to be destroyed. So this is a reference to all the different elements of Bavel, they're going to eventually be destroyed from the story of Megillas Esther. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Pasach le'pischa l'hai parashas ha'mihacha, he'd open up his drasha with the following pasuk. It says, Tachas ha'natz yala barosh, v'sachas ha'sirpot yala hadas. Instead of the Natsus, which is referring to a thorn, a Yal Barosh, some type of cypress tree, will rise. And underneath this Sirpa, which is some other type of tree, Yal Hadas. So what does this all mean? So Tachas HaNatsus, Tachas Haman, HaRasha, Sheasa Asma Avodah Zarah, Haman who made himself into an Avodah Zarah, Dichsiv U'Bechol HaNatsutim U'Bechol HaNahalolim, is a reference to somehow he was an Avodah Zarah. Instead of him, in place of him, Yal Barosh, I'm going to have someone else take his place. Is that Mordechai Shenikra Rosh L'Chol HaBasamim, that Mordechai was referred to the head, the Rosh of all the different spices, so he's going to go in the place, Yal Barosh is going to go in place of Haman. How do we know he's one of the spices? V'ata Kach L'Chol HaBasamim Rosh Mar Dror, and famously the Targum writes there, U'metergaminan Mari Dachi. So the word Mar Dror, the first of the Basamim listed in the Shemen HaMishcha, the special oil had various spices. The first one mentions Mar Dror, which is the Targum of Mar Drachi, a reference to Mordechai. We're going to see throughout this parak that there are a lot of references to how Megillas Esther is connected very much to the sense of smell, to the Koach HaReach, to the smell, to Besamim. This is the first instance we have this. We're going to have a lot of these. Esther was Hadassim, as we're about to see as well. Hadassim were meant to smell. There's a very strong thing that the Bnei Sascha writes, that when it came to the Eitz Hadass, so we know Haman was hinted in Hamin HaEitz Hazeh. That's a reference to Haman in the Torah. That's the Gemara Chulin tells us. And the Bnei Sascha tells us that when the Nachash, who was really the source of Haman eventually, so he was able to impact Adam and Chava, and all four of the five senses were mentioned in that discussion of Eitz Hadass, that the Nachash was able to impact a person's sense of hearing and seeing and taste and touch. The one sense that wasn't mentioned in the story of Eitz Hadass was the sense of smell. That's not mentioned. The Bnei Sascha writes because the sense of smell is the koach of the neshama, and the Nachash wasn't able to attack that. It was protected from the Nachash. So too, we have by Purim as well, that the only way to stand up against Haman, who came from the Nachash, was to the Koach HaReach. That was the place that was protected. It was able to defend. So that's why we see Mordechai is Mor Dror. He's one of the Besamim. Esther's Hadass is also one of the Besamim. That's why Chai V'Inish LeBesume is also Lashon of Besamim. We're going to see a lot of these throughout the parak. So anyways, this is the first instance of Mordechai being Rosh HaBesamim. So then the Gemara says, Tachas Asirpad, Tachas Vashi, in place of Vashi, Harisha, Abbas Benosha, Nebuchadnezzar, Rasha. She was a granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, so she was killed. Shesar Rafidas, Rafidas Beis Hashem, that he destroyed our Beis HaMikdash. So in place of her, Dichsev Rafidasa Zav, that's referring to the place of gold, that's the Beis HaMikdash. Zahav, Yala Hadas, in place will come Hadas, which refers to Zu Esther Hatzedekes, Shenikres Hadassah, she was called Hadassah, she's going to be in place of Vashi. Shinemar, Vayi Oman es Hadassah, that's one of her names, as mentioned in the Megillah. Vahaya Lashem Lashem, and she's going to be for Hashem a name, Zu Mikra Megillah. The Megillah is going to be a description of the incredible nes that took place during that story. Los Olam Loikares, it's going to be forever. Eloi Mei Purim, this is the days of Purim, that's going to last forever. It's brought down in the Rambam, that although all the other Kisrei Tanakh will be bought on the Aslavo, Purim, the Megillas Esther will not be batal. What that means, unclear. The rabbi doesn't like that shot here. How is it possible that Kisvei Tanakh will be over the times of Las Lava? But somehow, either Megillas Esther or the story of Purim, the celebration of Purim, will last forever, even in the times of Mashiach. Next, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Pasach la Pischa lahai parashas ha'mihacha. He learned, opened up his drasha with the following pasuk. It says, V'haya kashir sas Hashem aleichem leiti v'aschem. It will come a day that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be so happy. Ki yosis l'hara aschem. He will be very happy to harm you. What does that mean? U'mi chadei Kadosh Baruch Hu b'mapalasan sh'rasharim. Is Hashem happy even when the evil fall? V'ha, don't we have k'siv? B'teis l'fnei hachalot v'omrim hodu Hashem ki lam chazdo. that they were going out and they were saying thank you to Hashem for protecting us. So Amar Biochan, Mipnei Malo Nemar Kitov Hodazu. How come in this Hodah it says Hodu Hashem Kilam Chasda? It should say Hodu Hashem Kitov Kilam Chasda. Why is the word Kitov not here? So it says Fishein Kadosh Baruch Hu Samech B'Mapalasim Shavasham. Yes, we thank Kadosh Baruch Hu to save us, but we can't say it's Tov when people are dying. So how could it be here that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us by Megillas Esther, that we're going to say Hashem was so happy with the destruction of Haman and Achashverosh? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Mari Dechse, what does it mean in the pasuk when it says, V'lo karv zeh el zeh kol alayla, that they didn't come close to each other all night? Gemara says, Bikshu malach yasharis lo marshira, the night of Kriyas Yamsuf, they wanted to sing a shir, the malachim. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, my siyodai tovim bayam v'atim omer mashira. You could sing a song with my creations, although they were not very nice to my Jewish people, but still I created them. You can't rejoice with their destruction. So what's going on here? So how could the pasuk earlier say a Kadosh Baruch Hu is very elated when there's a destruction of the Rishayim? So Kalm is long to explain. Amar Rabbi Lazar, who ain't no sauce about achem mesis. Hakadosh Baruch Hu himself isn't happy. He has this balance of emotions, whatever that means. But others are very happy when the Rishayim are destroyed. B'deikinami, it's very clear in the pasuk, d'chziv ken yasis, and he will make rejoice. He will cause others to be happy, but lo k'siv yasis. But then say that he himself will be happy, shmamina. So that's a reference to that we will be happy in the days of Purim, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't be so happy, we will be happy. That was his introduction to the story of Megillas Esther. Next one, Rabbi Abba Bar Kana, Pasuk La Piskla Hai Parshasa Mihacha. He opened up the drasha for the following pasuk. It says, La Adam Shetov Lefanava Nasan Chachma Vadas Vesimcha. To the man who is good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives great wisdom and happiness. Is that Mordechai? It's a reference to Mordechai. Ulachote Nasan Inyan Lasov Lichnos. To he who is evil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gathers together. Is that Haman? That's a reference to Haman. And Lasej Latov Lefnei Elkim, to give good in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Mordechai v'Esther, Dechsev Tasim Esther as Mordechai al Beis Haman, that Esther gave Mordechai to be in charge of the house of Haman. And then we'll do one more for today. Comes along Rabbah Bar Ofrin, Pasuk Le Piskel Lahai Parshas HaMiyacha. He'd use the following Pasuk to introduce his Joshua. It would say, V'samti Kisi Be'elam, I placed my throne in the city of Elam. V'avati Misham Melech V'sarm, I lost there from the king, and the princes will be lost from there. Melech Zuvashi, that she was destroyed, and the Sarma Zehaman the Aseres Banav. Okay, that ends today's daf. We'll pick up tomorrow. Quickly to recap, we just saw this distinction between Mishkan, Shiloh, and Beis Hamikdash in terms of where they could eat the Kachik Kalam and Maishasheni, and that could be where you see it, versus Yerushalayim only within the walls. And then everyone was agreed that within the Kalayim you could eat the Kachik Kachim, and then Shiloh had a Heter afterwards. Yerushalayim did not have a Heter afterwards. We saw one man, Amr, that felt even after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in Yerushalayim, there was another Heter of Bamos, but then we see that Rava had retracted in that understanding. And then we brought a Machlokas Tanaim here, whether or not we say Kitcha Lasalavo or we don't say Kitcha Lasalavo, and that we had initial Rabbi Elazar of Yeshua. We rejected that proof. Then we brought two Rabbi Shmuel's statements, and we said that those were two opinions within his understanding, whether or not we say Kitcha Lasalavo or not. And then we had all the agat about the words Vayhi, Vayhi Bimei, and all the different introductions to Megillas Esther. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.